This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Most of us have been on an old dirt road that's muddy, potholed, and narrow, with deep gullies on both sides. But at the end of that road is a good fishing hole, the old family home place, or maybe a beautiful old country church. The ride to get there may be bumpy, but it's worth it to get to our destination. All of America's farmers and ranchers are on a bumpy road these days. Farm income, on average, is about half of what it was 5 years ago. And now things could get worse because of the very real threat of tariff retaliation by one of our biggest trading partners, China. In response to the steel and aluminum tariffs that the Trump administration put in place, which took effect on March 23rd, China announced a proposal to hit U.S. products with tariffs of its own. U.S. pork exports would be hardest hit with a new tariff of 25%. Our wine, fruit, and nut exports would face a 15% tariff. It was a relief to see soybeans left off the retaliation list for now. Soybeans are our number one ag export to China with a value of about $12.4 billion. They make up 63% of our ag exports to that country in 2017. But pork comes in at number five with about $660 million worth of exports to China. China's retaliatory tariffs aren't in place yet, but just the mere threat of retaliation can throw our commodity markets off into the ditch. It's not only farmers and ranchers who will be affected. If U.S. agricultural exports go down, the pain will be felt by shippers, food manufacturers, and thousands of employees who work in those sectors. In fact, it is forecast that the 26,000 steel and aluminum jobs saved will be outnumbered by the 31,500 ag-related jobs lost out of a total of 495,000 jobs our economy could lose overall. The price could be even steeper if China chooses to hit our soybean market. I don't think that will happen. China needs to import a lot of soybeans to feed its chickens and pigs. China decided, decades ago, to use its arable land to grow grains for human consumption and prevent future famine. As a result, it is very dependent on the U.S. and other countries for its supply of soybeans for feed. But that doesn't mean this trade war couldn't escalate to the point where China feels pushed to hit us even harder. It's scary to be on this road. We don't yet know how deep the potholes will be. We're not even sure what the destination will look like. It is frustrating to see a sector where the U.S. actually has a trade surplus of more than $17 billion threatened by tough talk and threats towards some of our most important trade partners. But administration officials, from the president on down, have assured us that American agriculture will come out on the other side of these trade disputes and negotiations better than we were before. We are hearing of talks between U.S. and China officials, and we're hopeful for a resolution. We'll have to wait and see if the destination is worth the bumpy ride. Meanwhile, we're buckled up, but we're also honking our horn. We're letting the administration know that the trade rhetoric and actions will take a toll on American agriculture, and it comes at a tough time for our industry. Most American farmers and ranchers are thankful for what this president is doing to reduce federal regulations and taxes and begin to rebuild our infrastructure. The bumpy road toward better trade relationships makes us nervous, but we have reason to believe that this president will keep his promises to rural America. Farm Town Strong, a campaign launched by the American Farm Bureau Federation and National Farmers Union, seeks to address the rural opioid epidemic. Statistics show that in 2016, opioids were responsible for more than 42,000 deaths, more than the number of people who died from gun-related violence or motor vehicle accidents that year. AFBF's Ray Atkinson explained in a recent interview that opioid addiction in rural farming areas is a major concern. Atkinson said, "Our country is in the midst of an opioid overdose epidemic. Every day, 115 Americans die from opioid overdose, and it's not just a big city problem. 3 in 4 farmers are or have been directly impacted by opioid abuse, and 3 in 4 say it would be easy for someone in their community to access prescription painkillers illegally. Farm Bureau and Farmers Union developed the FarmTown Strong website at farmtownstrong.org, which provides confidential hotline numbers, links to local treatment programs and centers, and contact information for physicians authorized to treat addiction. Prevention resources and information on how and where to dispose of medication also are available. Atkinson added, "It's really important for people to talk with their friends and family if they or a family member are dealing with addiction. This problem is too big for anyone to solve alone, and we know what farmers do best is pitching in to help farmers in times of need. Rural communities are strong, and the strengths of our towns can overcome this crisis." If the trade situation continues to deteriorate, our lives as farmers and ranchers will become more difficult, AFBF President Zippy Duval cautioned in a statement in response to possible retaliation by China against U.S. farm exports. Duval added, "After Canada, China is our second largest customer for ag exports. In retaliation for what our government says are justified U.S. trade measures against China on intellectual property issues, Chinese officials now have indicated they are prepared to slap tariffs on U.S. pork, wine, and fruit." On March 23, 2018, the Section 232 global steel tariff of 25%, along with a 10% tariff on aluminum imports, came into effect. The tariffs apply to imports of all steel and aluminum products unless the product or country of origin are specifically excluded. Some important trading partners were excluded, yet many remain. U.S. agriculture remains on high alert, and following recent Chinese announcements on tariffs impacting a number of agricultural commodities, we're left wondering not if, but when additional U.S. agricultural exports could be targeted. With President Donald Trump's signature earlier this week, the 2018 Omnibus Spending Bill and the several provisions that benefit farmers, ranchers, and rural communities it includes became law. The measure, which was a must-pass to avert a government shutdown, was approved in quick succession by the House and Senate on Thursday and the wee hours of Friday morning, respectively. The omnibus amends the cooperative tax deduction, or Section 199A, to restore balance to commodity markets and reestablish fairness between cooperative and non-cooperative farmers. It also clarifies that air emissions from animal waste at a farm are not applicable under the Comprehensive Environmental Response Compensation and Liability Act. Higher retail prices for several foods, including eggs, orange juice, meat products, bagged salad, shredded cheddar, and vegetable oil, resulted in a slight increase in AFBF Spring Picnic Market Basket Survey. The informal survey showed the total cost of 16 food items that can be used to prepare one or more meals was $51.05, up $1.02, or 2% compared to a year ago. Of the 16 items surveyed, 9 increased and 7 decreased in average price. Most of the increase in the market basket was due to higher retail egg prices. Easter eggs are going to be a bit more expensive, 37% higher than a year ago, according to John Newton, AFBF's Director of Market Intelligence. U.S. egg exports were up nearly 50% in 2017, while egg production remained flat. A bird flu outbreak in South Korea contributed to the increase in U.S. export volumes. Orange juice was another significant driver for the increase in the basket, up 24 cents or 7.5%. A devastating hurricane late last year that came through parts of Florida, where most orange juice comes from, led to growers harvesting the smallest crop in 70 years. AFBF President Zippy Duval had the first quote in a Sunday Wall Street Journal article about trade. This could not be happening at a worse time for American agriculture, Duval told the Wall Street Journal, referring to the escalating trade battle with China. Tariffs the Chinese government is expected to slap on U.S. ag exports, including pork, fruit, and nuts, will only serve to exacerbate the slumping U.S. farm economy. China is the second largest buyer of U.S. farm goods after Canada. The grain glitch was an unintended consequence of Section 199A, the provision that created the 20% tax deduction on income derived from pass-through businesses designed to replicate the tax benefits accorded to farmer-owned cooperatives and their farmer patrons under the previous Section 199, also known as the Domestic Production Activities Deduction. However, the new 199A provision had the impact of creating a disparity between the marketing products to cooperatives versus non-cooperatives. The disparity comes from the fact that pass-through business owners who belong to co-ops are currently able to take a deduction for 20% of qualified cooperative dividends received from agricultural or horticultural cooperatives, in addition to the pass-through business deduction described above. As many in the agricultural sector noted, including many farmers, this provision would very likely incentivize farmers to sell their products to cooperatives rather than to a private or investor-owned company in order to receive a significantly larger tax deduction. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a happy Easter and God bless America.